I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations to Rodney Hinton of Atlanta for listening to Dukes and Bell and winning the staycation from Reliable Heating and Air. Happy Friday, everybody. We have a big weekend. Pirates coming into town to take on the Braves after beating up on the Blue Jays. And then we've got game two tonight of the NBA Finals. We'll talk more about that. If you missed our conversation with Sam Mitchell, great stuff from Coach as he was talking about the adjustments the Spurs need to make. And also, you know, Wimby, man, and the fact that, look, he is playing a guy that he's actually got to play defense on. He can't just help like he did on SGA.
Right. And I asked him, I said to Carl the first hour of the show, I said, you know, I said, Wemby's got to go inside. Sam says he can't. Because whether it's Mitchell Robinson or Cat, like, and one thing about Cat, and I don't think it's unfair to say, and sometimes it's cliched in sports talk, that guy's soft.
Yes.
That, but, you know, like Harden just quits. Harden just disappears. And Cat sometimes, you know, when you're that big, sometimes maybe it comes easy. It comes naturally to you. But I think if Cat maintains that intensity that you saw, and then you can't beat him, because there's that spec. What's been missing from Cat at times, just that
intensity,
that extra oomph. You know, last year they just kind of ran out of juice against Indiana, and they were dealing with some injuries in that series too. But yeah, it's just Thibodeau. It's like, why couldn't Thibodeau do this? I think Mike Brown, and again, I called him Mr. Potato Head for years. Guy's been killing it. As Sam pointed out, he's making all the right moves. You can't argue with it.
No.
And maybe he's the right vibe for that team.
See, that's the key, Mike. It's not always the X's and O's. It's how guys vibe with you and what you can get out of guys. If at the end of the Tibbs tenure there, and let's just say the star and Jalen Brunson had had enough, right? You're always in my ear. I need you to dude, like, I've had enough, right? And when the stars don't back you as a head coach, that's when you get got. They bring in Mike Brown and say what you want. Like, even when we were up on them, right?
And he made some mistakes tactically,
yes,
as far as drawing up plays at the end of the losses.
But he, even in that situation, was like, look, I told our guys, you know, this team and that team has come back and won one series. And even though it sounded lame, like, he's saying and doing all the right things. And, Mike, for whatever reason, man, it's working. I'm with you. I think it's more about the vibe than it is the necessary coaching. Tibbs is a hell of a coach. He just wears on you.
Right. And the other thing is, and just to make it clear, you know, we talked about, like, you know, when he took over when Steve Kerr got sick, and he won the championship. Like, well, that's easy, ready-made championship. Well, he didn't screw it up. It's not like when Ime Udoka leaves and Joe Mazzulla screws everything up.
Good call.
You know, so, I mean, he could have – That's a pressure situation. He handled it. Granted, that team was loaded, but still, he has a chance to be a two-time championship-winning coach.
No doubt about it. Some guy talks on the way. We'll talk with Steve Kuhn and Hawks CEO coming up. We'll get his thoughts on these NBA finals. By the way, the numbers look really good. What's it say about the NBA and the interest level?
You know, real quick, just we will ask Steve about it. For some reason, I think guys, and you can sometimes tell if you know what their political agenda is. Some guys like Clay Travis have crossed over, you know, to sort of, you know, right-wing politics from straight sports. They just don't like the NBA. They just don't like the demographics. They just don't. This doesn't vibe it. As long as you know that coming in. But guys with their agendas, people just want to kill the ratings. Oh, the ratings are down.
They're not.
This and that. I go, well, not according to everybody in my neighborhood's watching. You know, a bunch of older, retired white people are watching the NBA where I live because it's really good competition. And Wemby, as you said, is a story. I just think that my beef, and we've said this a million times with Steve, is just they've got to find a way to jazz up the regular season. And I don't know if that means shortening the regular season, but it's just never has there been a league where the regular season is so weak and so uncompelling compared to what the playoffs, where things just really pop.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because it's interesting you bring this up. Did you feel that way when you first got into the NBA?
No, never. Because all the stars played all the games. There was no load management.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels that way, but the reality is it's been 82 games. It's been 82 games forever. Everybody, you know, go back to the annals. Everybody's played 82 games.
Right.
But why did it feel different? And maybe that's the reason, is because we got on this huge load management kick the last 5-6 years, and everybody was like, it's unfair, what are we doing? And then you had stars sitting out in games where people would pay thousands of dollars to go see these stars,
right.
And it's hurt the league. But I'm with you. I just think back to when I fell in love with the league. I never felt the regular season was inconsequential. I always felt like I'm watching a regular season game and the stars are out there, Mike, and, man, they are competing their butts off. And even though it was only one game, it felt like it mattered. You're basically saying now the regular season doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel as important. And right. I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's something to what you're saying. I do.
And there's sometimes the excuses, and sometimes it becomes generational, like, oh, here we go, boomer. No, I'm Gen X. But it's just – Karl Malone, you talk about LeBron looking like a football player. We had Karl Malone back
right,
in the day.
Right.
You know, it's you make it sound like, no, Clyde Drexler didn't look like he was a 98-pound weakling. Clyde Drexler was a physical specimen. So the idea that somehow these guys are more athletic and there's more wear and tear, I don't vibe that. I think there was, if anything, there was more physical contact.
Yes, there was.
And there was more hard fouls in the regular season, and the playoffs became out-and-out war. So that's why they cooked up in the cockamamie idea of this in-season tournament, which we all know why. So that's where I just think if Silver can find that balance to where I'm as excited, because, look, I can't lie to you. We do this for a living. Mm-hmm. I don't give a crap until after the All-Star break. I can't lie to you. I'll watch. I'll go to a Hawks game, but you know what you're getting. You know, then all of a sudden the half court slows down, the real gamesmanship kicks in, the strategy, everything else.
Yeah.
Just don't get that week to week in a regular.
You guys can chime in on that 404-726-0929. When we, I say we as in the Royal We, Hawks went undefeated in the month of January back in 15.
Right.
Before the All-Star break.
City was upside down.
There was enormous interest. And Mike, this is what I would tell you. We haven't been there. Not that we need to go undefeated in January, but think about our October, November, December starts here the last few years. Play-in team. What am I excited about?
Right.
I don't think we're going to go into this season feeling that way. And again, we'll expand this conversation to Steve Koonin. But I actually think there's some hope and some optimism about what we just saw, despite we got our butts kicked in Game 6. Forget about that. There just hasn't been that. There were a lot of people in this city, Mike, who had already come to the conclusion that we weren't going to win Jack with Trey.
Right.
And because of it, October, November, December, give me something to be excited about. When Golden State made their run, people were excited in October, November, right. December. The Knicks fans will lose their minds going right. into next season.
I had Heat tickets when it was Bimbo Coles. And like, I mean, it was Carl, I've had tickets to some really awful basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there was still juice because you knew the stars coming in and all that. Just trying to find out where they find that balance. But you're right. This year, and then this year, remember, we were so excited about Kristaps and Trey, and the Trey didn't start the season.
It became nothing. That became a nothing burger.
Right.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. The commissioners, at least, it feels like they might be on the same page. But is it on the same page about the right thing? Let's talk some dogs. We're talking about the Big Ten and the SEC. It's been front and center, especially with Nick Saban testifying in front of Congress. He wasn't the only one. Nick Bevacqua, who is the AD of Notre Dame, also testified. But yesterday, in unison, Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, Tony is the commissioner of the Big Ten, they issue a joint statement, Mike, basically in agreement that they are not supporting the Protect College Sports Act in its current state. Not that they wouldn't if some things were changed, but can we be honest? They don't like the pooling of the money aspect of this. And when you are the big dogs, why am I going to pull everybody up to help everybody when it should be that, because it helps college football across the globe, or should I say across the country. That's what it should be. But I feel like that's the one thing that may be, we're not going to do that. There's a bunch of things in here that we like, and they've said that in this statement they put out. But this is the one thing they're agreeing on. What they're not agreeing on is how many teams should be in the college football playoff.
And basically, they said, you know, and the, you know, Petitti, of course, baseball executive, TV, they get the guy, the other guys, you know, NBC executive, and they're all saying, you know, we really want to see things come together in college football, just not this way, because they've got to give up the advantage. And they don't want to give up the advantage. The coffers are full.
Yep.
They've got the things the other schools don't have. They got better TV contracts than everybody else. And, you know, that's why I've always felt, and maybe it might not be the result that fans are going to like, but we get to that Super 75 Super Conference.
Well, in this bill, Mike, and that wouldn't happen.
And I think that's the one thing about this bill.
There would be no Super Conferences.
I know it's a slippery slope for the Kennesaw States or the Georgia States of the world. Like, what happens to us? You know, the MAC conferences. How do you make your money if you can't get those – you're not scheduled? I'd rather see an all filler, no killer, 12-game balls-to-the-wall schedule where you're playing everybody in all the big boy conferences in a Power 75. And the TV money would be insane because the competition, there's not a game you don't want to watch. You feel me? But there, that's the reason I do think there's still going to be a chance. Something you and I talked about our first show together, that maybe that's why the Big Ten and the SEC, amongst other reasons, don't want to go down this road.
I'll say this too: if you're going to do that, it's not going to include this bill and this present Protect College Sports Act is not going to allow that. That's why a lot of people dig it. It's still going to allow conferences to be conferences.
As we know it.
You're still going to have the regional rivalries, the things that Nick Saban talked about that should matter for college football. But I will say this. Who's giving up power? Because if you do what you're talking about, you're going to have two commissioners running one league?
Well, that's just it. See, somebody, it was almost like you're going to have to – you'll have to run it like ancient Rome. This year, you're the emperor. Next year, I'm the emperor. And every other year. And that never works, obviously. But it's going to be – you're right. How do you get a two-headed monster to succeed, to coexist?
Hey, man, you guys can chime in, 404-726-0929. By the way, follow Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and follow the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929.
So today we've already talked about the Battle of Chickamauga and the Roman Triumvirate. We've had a lot of historical references today, Carl. You're just not going to get this on every show.
No, and I'm sure once Abe's dad gets here, it'll get even further in detail.
We have our Father's Day winners tonight, private party in the back, which is going to be a lot of fun. But thanks to everyone who did register, by the way.
Yeah,
and
man.
Got in it to win it.
No doubt. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man, a couple of things.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A very cool game for historically black colleges and universities is going to be changing its championship game. We'll tell you all about that. Also coming up, what do you do when you're waiting for your wife? She's having a medical procedure and you're stuck in a waiting room.
For 6 hours. Yeah. 6 hours.
Next, coming up here at Guy Talk on Dukes and Bell.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.